بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد وصينا الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم وإياكم أن اتقوا الله وعن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا معاذ اتق الله حيث ما كنت وَاتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلْقِ الْحَسَنِ أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم In this verse of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned one common command of Almighty Allah. Which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded to all the nations and all the prophets who came before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the nations and aqwam who came in this world before us, before the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the command? وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا You know, when our elder, our father, our mother says something in the form of advice, nasiha, ad-dinu an-nasiha, and that nasiha, that advice, the word for it is wasiya, wasayna. And why our elderly relatives or well-wisher advises us to make our life better. In his mind, in his heart, is well-being of us. That I'm advising you, if you do this, it is beneficial for you. It will benefit you. So for our benefit, our elders always advise us to do the good actions. And who can be more beloved and more concerned about us other than our Creator, Almighty Allah? So that's why it is said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His creation 70 times more than the mother loves her children. That's just the example. There is no comparison of the love of the mother with the compared to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His creation. Just to make us understand this one of the example, it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used word wasiya, nasiha, advice, admonishing. وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا Most definitely, certainly, we have advised الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ those to whom we have granted the kitab, the holy scriptures, divine book before you people, meaning addressing especially the Yahud and Nasara, because Yahud has granted Torah and Nasara, the Christians, has been granted the Injil, and Hazrat Dawud al-Islam has granted the Tawur, as we know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, وَلَقَدْ وَسَّلْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ And same advice, same admonishing, I'm giving to you people also. And what is that? اِتَّقِ اللَّهِ You must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His awareness of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. If you do so, if you adopt the taqwa, if you adopt the piety, God-fearing righteousness, you will be successful in this world as well as in hereafter. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is addressing to his most beloved, one of the most beloved Sahabi and companion, Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. There are so many virtues of Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He is among the all the Sahaba radiyallahu alayhim ajma'in that specifically, exclusively, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Muadh, uhibbuka lillah. That, O Muadh, I love you for the sake of Allah. This sentence by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only, solely for Hadrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala. All other Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala ajma'in were beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt about it. He used to love each and every one. But for the Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala, he addressed to him and said, O Muadh, I love you. I love you for the sake of Allah. So you can see the status of Hazrat Muadh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, how beloved he was to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this hadith, he said, my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised me, Ya Muadh, ittaqillah haythuma kunt. I'm advising you, you must have fear of Allah, taqwa of Allah, wherever you are, in whatever condition you are, in whichever situation you are, fear Allah. And then he said, "What bi isayyat al hasanata tamhuha." We are human beings, full of mistakes. Al insanu murakkabu min al khata wal nisyan. Our nature has been created with the mistakes. We are going to make mistakes. No one is innocent in this world except the Anbiya alayhi salam, who are protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why they cannot commit sin. They are sinless. But we all human beings, in our nature, we are going to make mistakes. We are going to commit a sin intentionally, unintentionally. It is going to happen. No one is perfect in this world. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whenever you commit any sin, violate any commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately repent and do something good. What will happen? That your good action will erase your bad action. Inna al-hasanati yudhibna sayyat. This is the promise of Almighty Allah, that verily good deeds, good actions always erases the bad actions. So do immediately balance. Whenever you commit sin, you realize I have done something wrong, don't wait. Immediately make sincere tawbah and do something good. So that good action will erase the bad action. وَخَالِكِ النَّاسِ بِخُلْكٍ حَسَنٍ. A last part of the hadith is, you must deal and conduct with the people with good behavior, good manners. My brothers and sisters, as a human being, we are living in three different directions, three different relationships, three different dimensions, three different layers, and three different worlds altogether. And this hadith is one of the Jawami'ul Kalim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been granted short expressions. The words used to be very small, precise, but the meanings used to be very deep. So this one of those hadiths that ulama said, this hadith comprehends the entire deen, entire conduct of Islam. Because as I said, we have three different dimensions in which we are living together. One is our connection, our relationship with Almighty Allah. Always. We are the servants of Allah, and Allah is our creator, our sustainer, our provider, our protector. So that's hukukullah, constant. We are under the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is a separate dimension, separate layer, separate relationship between us and Almighty Allah. To that extent, in this relationship is exclusive. No one can interfere in that, not even our parents, not our brothers, not children and wives. It's only me and my Allah, exclusively. That's one side. And for that we need the Iman. The condition is we should have the Iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with the Iman we should have the A'mal as-Salihah. Right? This is the one aspect of our entire life since we are born till we'll die. Other dimension is the human being we have with ourselves, myself. I am doing, whatever I am doing, it is going to benefit to me or it will be harmful and dangerous to me, myself. If I pray Salat on time, it will benefit me. I fast month of Ramadan, it will benefit me. If I give charity donations, it will benefit me. If I perform Hajj, it will benefit me. Right? So all the A'mal actions I am doing, whether good or bad, it has the direct reflection to myself. I am building my Akhirah. I am increasing my levels in paradise by doing good actions. Or, may Allah forbid and protect us, all of us, I am committing the sins, violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, transgressing the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by doing this, I am decreasing myself. I am falling myself into the hellfire. So this is between me and myself. Whatever I do, good or bad, it is beneficial or harmful to me and myself. And the third layer or third dimension of our daily lives until we die is our relationships with the people at large, including our parents, grandparents, our wives, our siblings, our children, our fellow co-workers, our fellow Muslim brothers. All are included, Muslims or non-Muslims alike. So this, our third dimension of our lives. Now this hadith is so comprehensive. It is covering all these three aspects of our lives. The first part of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised to Hazrat Muaz ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an, and through him the entire ummah until the Yawm al-Qiyamah. What is the first part of the hadith? Ittaqullah haythuma kunt. That you must fear Almighty Allah wherever you are, in whatever condition you are. So this part of the hadith is between me and my Allah. Taqwa, piety, awareness of Allah is only between me and my Allah. No one knows about it. I can be away from my family, no one knows me, but Allah is there. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you are, you can be away from your parents, from your family, for no one will know you. Strange place, island. But Allah will be there. You cannot hide from Almighty Allah. He is constantly watching you. That's why in Surah Al-Qaf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has highlighted that. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ. Definitely, most certainly, we have created human being. وَنَعْلَمُ, because this is our creation. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ. Whatever is whispering within himself, whatever he is thinking in his minds, we are aware of that. Why? وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are even close to him, the human being, than his jugular vein. This much of closeness Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has with everyone. So how we can hide from Almighty Allah? That's why someone came to ask Hazrat Hassan al-Basri rahmatullah alayh, that by nature I cannot control myself. I cannot control my emotions, my lust, my desires. I want to commit sin. Can you permit me? Can I commit my sin? This is my weakness. I want to enjoy my life. Hazrat Hasan Basri Rahmatullah Alayh said, okay, you have right. You can do whatever you want to do. You are free right now. No one will stop you. No one will hit you. You are free. Whatever you want to do is your life. But commit a sin at a place, go out from this world, go out from this planet, and then you commit sin. Because this whole planet is the property of Almighty Allah. Allah is only, you know, proprietor of this whole world. If you want to violate the command of Allah, you cannot stay on his planet. Go out of it and then do whatever you want. You say, Ya Sheikh, how is possible? I cannot do that. I cannot do that. It's impossible for me. Where am I going to go? Then they say, okay, if you cannot go out, how dare you are to commit the sin while you are living on his planet? Then Hazrat Basri Rahmatullah explained him, if whenever you want to commit sin, stop eating Allah's food, Allah's rizq. Because you are violator, transgressor. How you can eat the food provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you're not obeying him? Stop eating his food and then you can do whatever you want to do. You see, said it is even harder. How I'm going to survive if you don't eat food? The whole food and rain and water comes from Almighty Allah. Say, how dare you are? You are eating his food, his bounties, his ni'mah, and disobeying him? They say, okay, do this much only. If you want to commit a sin, then go to such a place where Allah cannot see you. Allah cannot see you. Go in a corner somewhere in the remote area where Allah cannot see you, then do whatever you want. You see, I say, it is very hard, very difficult, it is very impossible for me. Everywhere Allah is mawjood. Allah is it everywhere. Nothing is hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, then how dare you are? You are hiding from your parents. You are hiding from wife and siblings and people. We have shame that they should not see me committing sin, committing zina, adultery, gambling, whatever, drinking liquor. You have shame for your parents, for your siblings, for your relatives, but you don't have shame for Almighty Allah, who is your creator. How dare you are? You're committing sin while he's watching you? While he's aware of you? So this is the called taqwa. What is the taqwa? Ulama explained there are very vast meaning of the taqwa in piety. The first taqwa is that you must act in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the light and nur of Allah, because no one can act without the tawfiq of Almighty Allah. Tawfiq of Allah is the nur of Allah. It is the light of Allah. So taqwa means to act in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the light of Allah, hoping for the mercy of Allah. Wallah, I prayed these two rakat. It is not appropriate, it is not as you wanted me, but I just done it. Please accept and forgive my shortcomings, hoping on the mercy of Allah. Every act do in this manner that you are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Almighty Allah, and then you must ask his pardon, his forgiveness, that Allah, whatever I have done is done. Please accept through your mercy and make me so glad. And leaving, abstaining, refraining from doing disobedient act of Allah upon the light of Allah due to the fear of Allah. Have the awareness, today I'm going to commit this sin, no one will stop me, but what will happen tomorrow? I have to stand in front of Almighty Allah. I have to give the hisab of my whole life. How I will be able to face Almighty Allah when he is aware of every action of mine. Nothing is hidden from him. How I am going to face him? So this awareness, if you adopt, my brothers and sisters, we can protect ourselves from committing the sin. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day while he was Amirul Mu'mineen, Khalifatul Muslimin, he asked one of the great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He said, "Oh Ubay, please explain me what is the definition of taqwa." Look at the Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, such a great Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is inquiring. He is worried, he is concerned. Please explain me, maybe I don't understand properly. What is the meaning of taqwa? Hadrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala said, "O Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you pass through any thorny path in your life?" Because it was jungle, Saudi Arabia is all jungle, the thorny trees all over there. So Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "Yes, I did pass through thorny path, there are a lot of thorns were there on the way." Say, how you crossed that path? He said, "I made sure my every cloth and everything what I was wearing, I did it like this, and I make sure that I should not tread on any thorn, and very precaution, with the full conviction and precaution, I passed through, protecting myself and my cloth from the thorns." Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala said, "Exactly, this is the taqwa. This is the taqwa. In your daily life, from morning till evening, whatever you are doing, whatever you are saying, wherever you are going, make sure that you deliberately, intentionally, knowingly, don't do any act, don't say any word which is inappropriate, which is not allowed by Sharia, which is not, you know, have the permission from Almighty Allah. Every word. مَا يَلْفُذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever you are speaking out, every word is counted, is recorded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the angels. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. So this is what the taqwa is. So if you live our lives in this manner, inshallah, we have the hope of Almighty Allah that Allah will forgive our shortcomings and He will have mercy upon us. The second part, my brothers, whenever you have any things and you realize that I have done something wrong, it is hukukullah or hukukul ibad. You miss prayer or you swear somebody or blame someone or did whatever. Say, you do the good action immediately. By doing that, inshallah, Allah will erase, Allah will keep the balance between the hasanat and the sayyat. So this is, keep in mind, whenever you do inshallah anything wrong, do immediately something good. So that will be balanced. And the third part is hukukul ibad, is very vast topic. I cannot cover it in 1-2 minutes. But think in this way, that conduct, your manners should be with the people, always with the good manners. Because Rasulullah said that the husnul khul will elevate you in the paradise more than the person who is fasting whole day and standing awake whole night on the musalla. Whatever rewards you're going to get after so much of sacrifice, your good conduct will balance, will elevate you more than that person. So your speaking with the people should be good. Your conduct with the brothers and sisters with this consciousness that I should not harm anybody. Rasulullah said, "O Ma'az," again Ma'az ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, he said, "Can I give you the khulasa, the essence of the whole deen? Protect your tongue." Rasulullah said, "Protect your tongue. Most of the people will be in the hellfire because of the mischievousness of the tongue. That's why very famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." A true believer is that person, is not performing, you know, whole day salat and tahajjud and giving charity and going umrah and hajj every year. No. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi." a true believer is that the other people are saved from the mischievousness of his tongue and his hand. He's not harming anybody and is not, you know, slandering, blaming, accusing, you know, anyone wrongly. We have to protect our tongue. Every word, my brothers and sisters, is recorded, and we have to give the hisab of the day. If you do these three, inshallah, Allah will make our life successful, this world as well as hereafter. May Allah give us tawfiq, brother.